Chapter 3. Vigil. Magna Macrag Civitas, Vault of the Unbound Flame. Funerary rites varied greatly across even the largely homogenized Imperium of the Great Crusade. Despite a growing galactic zeitgeist towards enlightenment, many human cultures still ritualized the passing of the dead. During the days of Old Earth, the Terra that existed before Unity, the Romani practiced inhumation, while most Nord Africans preferred cremation. The old customs of the Aegyptos demanded embalming as a way for their departed to enter the underworld, whilst the peoples of ancient Himalaya embraced the ostensibly barbaric rite of Jator, or ritual dissection. Nocturnian belief held that all things which come from Earth must then return to it. Only then could the circle of rebirth be forged. It referred to immolation by flame, flesh, bone, and ash. For the 18th, fire was both baptismal and funerary. Thus the Promethean Creed, as taught by Vulcan, could be preserved. This, and so much more besides, was a part of his legacy now, and must be protected. So it was with bitter regret that Barak Zitos knelt before the casket in which the Lord of Drakes was now entombed.
"He belongs with the earth," uttered a solemn voice from the shadows of the deep vault, "not in this cold and gilded barrow."
A single memorial flame alleviated the darkness, fluttering mournfully. Its lambent light caught the edges of Vulcan's golden tomb, whilst limning the grieving features of Zitos.
"A Primarch, held in state beneath the fortress of Hera," Zitos murmured to the newcomer, his grief making him pause. "It is almost beyond countenance."
He had declared to Lord Gilliman his belief in Vulcan's survival, defiant against any who would dare gainsay it. The bitter irony was their father had survived the drop site massacre, only to be murdered by an assassin whilst purportedly on friendly soil. Loyalty was air and sustenance to Zitos. He could not eschew it any more than he could willingly stop breathing or eating. But the fate of Vulcan and what he saw as the deception of Macrag had wounded him deeply.
"Let us hope he is the only one," said the other figure in the vault as he knelt beside Zitos. "Why are we still here, Varkir?" Zitos asked.
Phaestus Varkir did not answer immediately. He took a moment to bow respectfully to his Primarch in state, and muttered a few words of Promethean ritual.
"How do you propose we leave, Zitos?"
he asked, his cadence reminiscent of cracking parchment.
"The Lord of Macrag forbids it whilst the ruin storm remains."
"I find that an overly lyrical and unnecessarily calamitous word for it."
"What, ruin?" Varkir replied.
Unlike Zitos, who wore the drake green of the salamanders, Varkir was entirely clad in black. As a devotee of the chaplaincy, it was his duty. He had often reminded Zitos it was not because he was in mourning, but on account of his calling, one needed more than ever in such tenebrous days. A wound not just of the flesh, but of the spirit, had been inflicted upon the nascent Imperium, provoking a theological war of the soul.
"It has brought us to our knees," Varkir admitted, "for a time, at least."
Zitos respected the sanctity of the chamber, even with all of its hollow opulence, but still transmitted the futile anger in his words.
"How can we now rise? Our father came to a legion approaching self-annihilation. Without his influence, how can we hope to avoid such a fate again?"
The legionary had a stern countenance and the broad shoulders of a Themian. His deep crimson hair was cut short, and on both hemispheres of his skull, iconic representations of drakes were shaved into the scalp. Gently, Varkir laid a gauntleted hand upon Zetos's shoulder.
"With his influence are we made Protean, brother."
He smiled warmly, despite their bleak surroundings.
"We are much changed from the dragon warriors we used to be."
Few in the Legion knew, let alone spoke, the 18th's old cognomen. To do so prompted a reminder of the great shame it signified, of the days before Vulcan had taught them pragmatism to temper their self-sacrificial natures, and humanity to counter their abyssal anger. Varkir was badly scarred. The latter part of his name, Kir, meant chosen. In Varkir's case, it was an apt honorific. As one of Lord Ritan's voices of fire, he had been sent to minister to the legionaries about to bring Horus the Renegade to heel, but scarcely survived the massacre. The stunted, ash-white crest bifurcating his hairless scalp suggested veteran, as did the closeness of his flesh to the skull. His eyes still held their nocturnian fire, though, embers to the coal-black of his skin. A moment of pensive silence fell before Zetos said,
"I thought I heard it beat. His heart!"
As one, the eyes of the two salamanders turned to regard their slain lord. Vulcan lay in silent repose. His eyes were closed, and he looked serene behind the casket glass. He was, as he always had been, their father. Honor scars marked his face, branded into flesh by an iron rod. Hard to discern, except in a certain light, they describe the legacy of Vulcan's deeds.
"Our minds can sometimes trick us into believing what our hearts desire, Zetos," Varkir replied quietly. "It is well. At least he is here to be mourned by his sons instead of defiled on some distant battlefield."
Zetos lowered his gaze, unable to look upon his dead father any longer. Clenched in Vulcan's fist was Dawnbringer, an artifact of peerless craftsmanship, wrought by the Lord of Drakes himself, and the very hammer that had spirited him away across the Empyrean to Macrag. Aside from his flesh and bone, it was the only thing that had survived atmospheric re-entry intact. In point of fact, Vulcan wore not his draconian battle plate, but was instead clad in a suit of armor from Lord Gilliman's vault. At least it had been crafted with the livery of the 18th. Zetos and the other salamanders who had made it to Macrag knew fragments of the story surrounding Vulcan's violent arrival. Some aspects of it beggared belief to the sons of Nocturne, incredulous accounts of miraculous resurrection and healing, and a madness that rendered the Lord of Drakes into a frenzied beast. Rumors, nothing more. The former was cruel, giving hope where none existed, and the latter was an insult to Vulcan's memory. Both Zetos and Varkir had refuted them.
"Has anyone else tried to remove it?" The sound of Varkir's voice lifted Zetos from a bleak reverie.
The chaplain's hand wavered in front of him, held before the glass and hovering, fingers outstretched towards where the ugly spearhead jutted from the Primarch's chest. His gauntleted hand trembled at the horror of it, the abject violation. To see it was a constant reminder of Vulcan's murder and the crude tool used to end him.
"Some,"
said Zetos, a tacit admission in the tone of his answer that he could be counted amongst them.
"But all who have tried failed."
"None can," said Varkir,
tracing the words engraved upon the casket's only ornamentation, a gilded scroll, with his fingers.
"Unbound flame," he whispered,
reading the words aloud. His eyes strayed to the memorial flame. Varkir was gifted. Like the Igniaks of old, he perceived truth and wisdom in flames. Zitos had followed his gaze. In spite of his grief, his voice still betrayed a sliver of hope.
What do you see?
After staring for a few minutes, Varkir shook his head.
Nothing, he murmured, regretful. I would gladly sacrifice my life, declared Zitos,
unashamed of the tears streaking down his face.
There are none amongst us who would not do so, brother.
The ancient Promethean creed told that the circle of death and rebirth not only maintained the balance of nature, but also held the belief of life eternal, of resurrection. Within the Legion, this had been accepted as the harvesting of gene seed passing on from one host into another, so a warrior's legacy might live on. But Zitos referred to a more literal interpretation. The sacrifice of one could bring about the apotheosis of another. It was foolish and sentimental. Pragmatism was needed now, but grief had to be properly observed first.
Father, said Zitos, a fierce strength inflecting his voice, we have great need of hope. Please.
He bowed his head, and Varkir joined him in grave memoriam.